Shalom, Havarim, and hello, friends. It is good to see you on the Sunday morning or whenever you are watching at home. I'm sure you've all heard by now about the big event this past week. And of course, I'm talking about the arm wrestling tournament. And no, this wasn't a tournament among people. This was kind of unique. It was an arm wrestling tournament among the days of the week. And of course, this event, the highlight was when Sunday arm wrestled Monday. But of course, it really wasn't that much an event because we all knew it was going to happen. We knew that Sunday was going to win. Of course, you knew Sunday was going to win. Why did we know Sunday was going to win? Because Monday is a weekday. Yeah, that was pretty bad. That's terrible. But it's been that kind of week, hasn't it? You may notice that I'm here preaching to an empty church. It is completely silent here. There's nobody in the building. I even locked the door just to make sure nobody wandered in off the street while I'm recording. That's because that we have COVID in our family once again. So yeah, hey, you know, it's only been 6 months since our last COVID case, so yay. only one person right now has tested positive. We are waiting it out to make sure no one else picks up on that as well. So, yeah, anyway, so that's fun. But also this week was weird because Wednesday afternoon, there was a huge storm that came through the city of Stanton. And thousands were without electricity for well over 24 hours, right in the middle of probably early, mid-July. Of course, it's nice and hot. And people were dealing without air conditioning. They're worried about their food spoiling in their refrigerator. I've heard estimates, you know, hundreds, thousands of trees down in the city. The word tornado has not officially been applied to the storm, but by the looks of the Gypsy Hill Park, the golf course, and some of the area just behind our church here, I wouldn't be surprised one way or the other just how they classify the storm. Trees were uprooted, they were snapped off, some were broken right in half and just laid waste in this swath from Thorn Rose Cemetery up through where our church is and on beyond. So the interesting thing about all of this is, you know, it's only been 2 years since the city of Stanton had a major flooding event, almost 2 years to the date. Next month we'll pass the 2 year anniversary, if you call it an anniversary. So all of this is going on, and as this storm is passing through Wednesday, the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh no, there's that tree at church. And if you're a part of our church council, if you've been a part of these conversations, you know the tree I'm talking about. There's a tree that sits on the edge of our property here at the church, and the neighbors have been complaining about this tree for a while. There are some branches that are maybe a little iffy, that they may, you know, be somewhat dead. They're not the healthiest of branches. And the tree itself maybe could fall down with enough force from wind or whatever it might be. So the neighbors have been asking, the person that lives in the house there on the property is asking, can we remove this tree? Can we at least trim this tree? And in fact, just last month we got some estimates for removing and trimming this tree. So here we are, after these neighbors have said for a couple of times, can you do something about this tree? This big storm comes through, and I'm worried as I'm driving over here Wednesday evening, I'm like, oh no, that tree's going to have come down. And of course, it's going to come down on the neighbor's house or the neighbor's car. And I show up on Wednesday after driving past all of these trees that have been down in the city, and I arrive at the church, I drive up to the tree, and I look underneath, and you know what? Nothing but a few branches, small twigs on the ground. And as I drove past that tree, you know, gawking at the branches still hanging up high in the tree, I thought to myself, the people of Stanton Mennonite Church, you must be living right. So why do I tell that story? A couple years ago, actually almost a decade ago, maybe even more now, there was a pastor in another state, another area of the country, and whenever I'm critical of someone, I don't use their names, so you can anticipate this isn't going to be a positive story. This pastor in another state had a similar experience. There were several small tornadoes that just kind of came out of nowhere and hit his city. And one of the places that was hit in that city was a small church where they were holding meetings. And these were the meetings of a certain denomination to which that pastor did not belong to. Now, on that church building where they were meeting, the steeple actually broke off because this tornado hit the building. Now, almost immediately after the storm hits, this pastor takes to the internet and decides it's his job to type up exactly what happened and give it theological perspective on the event. He says that this is God's divine punishment for this other denomination. Remember, a denomination to which he did not belong to, a denomination with which he did not agree. This damage that was done to the steeple was because the people were meeting in this church for their annual conference. The denomination gathered there. God spoke through that weather event. Now, of course, this got a lot of media attention for all the wrong reasons. And people were quick to push back on this pastor, I think appropriately so. One of the things that they mentioned was this was not the only building that was damaged in this tornado. For instance, there was a middle school that was struck by a tornado and had significant damage as well. Was this God's, God's retribution or God's vengeance or God's anger being poured out upon the middle schoolers? Learn thee thy algebra. That's in the King James Version. No. What was that about? Was this God's punishment? And if God was punishing, why did God choose to skip over other places that are clearly worse? People mentioned, why not send a tornado to sources of greed and places like Wall Street or send it where like there's large pockets of human trafficking? Why not send the tornado to punish those people? But instead, it just happens that God sends a tornado to damage the steeple of a church where a denomination is meeting with which this guy does not agree. That, my friends, seems very convenient. Now, I'm not going to say that the Bible never depicts God as punishing people. That's not true. God does punish people. Especially in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we find stories where God does dish out some sort of punishment for the people's actions. Often it is for neglecting the poor or the needy among them, for having idols or worshiping false gods, turning their backs on God. But if we look at the New Testament, we see a lot less of that. And one of the things that we also notice in the New Testament is there's this idea, kind of like this pastor that I was talking about before, where they have this idea that any kind of thing that goes wrong, anything that's not just as we would have it be, is God's divine punishment. But Jesus stands up time after time and says, that's not always the case. For instance, we find in John chapter 9, there's a story of a man who was born blind. And they bring this guy to Jesus so that he can heal the man. Now, as this man born blind is brought to Jesus, Jesus' disciples ask him a question. They say, in John chapter 9, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I'm just imagining Jesus like scratching his head. Like, first of all, if he was born blind, how could he even sin to be born blind? Like, that doesn't work. But Jesus' response is essentially just like, what? Like, you're missing the point. That's not what it's all about. There's a bigger picture here. He says, what you're doing is you are asking the wrong questions. In Luke 13, verse 4, Jesus also tells a story about this tower, the Tower of Siloam. And this tower fell down recently in Jesus' day. And when the tower fell, there were 18 people that were killed in that natural disaster. Now, Jesus asks his disciples, he says to them in verse 4, he says, were these people who died worse sinners than the ones who lived? And the answer is no. No. Essentially, he's saying, sometimes stuff just happens. Sometimes stuff just happens. Like, don't assume that was God's divine punishment on those people because they are sinners. It just happens. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. There's not always a rhyme or a reason to why bad things happen. You can't always assume that if there is some sort of disaster, that this is God's punishment upon people. Yes, there are times when the Bible says that that is exactly what's happening, but it's few and far between. It's the exception and not the rule. So we don't know why these things happen. And I know for me that causes some discomfort. I don't know why bad things happen, especially why bad things happen to good people. But I think we are making a mistake if we assume that God causes it all to happen. And it's okay to ask these questions. And I would give you the same response that Jesus gave to his disciples when they're asking about the man born blind. He simply says, you're asking the wrong questions and you're not seeing the larger picture. There's more going on here than what you can perceive or what you are quickly to assume is the case. And I also think that it's really a huge mistake when we assume that there is some sort of damage, especially a natural disaster, that this is God's showing his disapproval of that group, especially when God skips over our house or our family or our church building. So I joke around, you know, it looks like you people here at Stanton Mennonite Church are living right, because that tree behind me, it's still standing. And praise God, it is still standing, because I didn't want to buy the neighbors a new car. But my point is, I think we make a huge mistake whenever we look at someone else and say, this is God's punishment on you. Praise God, we must be living right. I think Jesus had something to say about that as well. He said, take the 2x4 out your own eye before you go critiquing the speck of dust in your neighbor's eye. So in these situations, I have kind of a go-to response. When someone asks these questions, you know, why did this happen? My usual response is to say, I don't know why it happened, but I do know how we are to respond to the situation. Because it's very clear in the situation where people experience loss or pain or suffering, it's clear what we are to do. We are to grab our chainsaw. We're to grab our checkbook. We're called to fold our hands and pray for those in need. We are called to take someone food in their time of suffering and pain and help them as best we can in the situation to make the load a little bit lighter for them. When we assume God is punishing someone else because of the bad things that happened to them, there is a name for that. We call that karma. And that's not a Christian concept. It's not a biblical concept. Karma says, you mess up here on earth, you will be punished in this life or the life to come. And when we see someone suffering and we assume it's because of something that they did, so often we turn our back on those people and say, well, you had it coming. You deserved this. That is karma, and that is not Christian. Rather, when we follow Jesus and admit that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, when the tornadoes come upon the just and the unjust, we will look at that situation differently, and we will say with a different attitude that that could have been my house, my church, or my family. The appropriate response in such a situation is not to point fingers and place blame and accuse people of sinning or heretics or whatever it might be. The appropriate response is always to pick up some sort of tool and help them dig out. The appropriate response is to help those in need, because it could have been you. And who among us hasn't received help in our own time of need? We help others because we too have been helped. Just like the Bible tells us, we love because God first loved us. All right, my friends, if you need help digging out from the storm, don't hesitate to give me a call, send me an email, or a text message, or whatever it might be. But I pray that in these situations, even when we don't know the cause of why these bad things happen, we will always remember our response should not change. We show up. Have a great week, everybody. Blessings to you all, and stay healthy.